Welcome back to another episode of Dumb Nerd Thing. I'm your host, Teddy. And today we've got a follow-up to the previous Macaulay Culkin episode with Betsy talking about Shane Dawson. It's more of a YouTuber, YouTube culture kind of centric episode about what is YouTube? Why do people like YouTubers? Why do people get so nerdy about YouTubers that they buy everything they advertise and becomes this kind of devoted fan base for a content creator. It's an interesting discussion, and also Colin's there, so yeah, doing his thing. Enjoy.
Welcome back to another exciting episode.
You don't do it. I do it. I'm the host here. I made all of this happen.
Get him down.
He's on the table. He's coming. No, put my pants back on. We're doing homework. You like that?
Yeah. I did like that.
You know what else I like is YouTube.
No segues, please.
Sorry, we have a specific request for no segues.
Alright.
The fans have brought in.
Okay.
Okay.
Betsy,
Betsy's here.
You are here, and you're here at gunpoint to talk about YouTuber Shane Dawson.
Shane Dawson, yeah.
I would say a dark image, a mirror image to the previous episode of Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, that's fair. My whole history with Shane Dawson is very, very different.
Who is Shane Dawson? What is YouTube?
Yeah, for those who don't know,
YouTube, what is the internet?
What's the internet? So the internet is a collection of websites that you
For the fans that don't know, can you explain what a collection is?
So Shane Dawson is a YouTuber. He started long, long time ago. I've been watching him since he first got on YouTube, which I want to say 2008, 2007, so 12 years now. And maybe a little bit after that. But he's a YouTuber, and I got very into him when he first started, and I kind of followed his career ever since. I've dropped off at certain points and not really followed him as much, and then gotten back in when he's been producing different stuff. And so why Tim was saying that it's at gunpoint is because right now I don't love the content that he's making, so I don't want to super be endorsing it. Not because it's like bad, but just because it's not for me anymore. I think he makes content more for like 15 to 16 year olds, and I don't need to watch that anymore.
So I think he's a good way to talk about YouTubers.
Hashtag YouTube culture. Well, kind of similarly with my interest in Macaulay Culkin, it is more of research. You know what I mean? I like more of like what Shane represents and who he is as a YouTuber, that I'm like super into his content. You know, like I don't watch Macaulay Culkin movies, but I like the mythos of him. And Shane is a similar way, where I like knowing about his history and who he is, and I think he's interesting as a creator, but I don't necessarily like all of his content. And I think that's good. I think that he isn't making content for me, and that's fine. And but yeah, like I said, I got into him when I was 6th, 7th grade, I want to say. And the first video I watched of his was a Degrassi parody. I didn't watch Degrassi, but my friend was like, you have to watch this. This is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I watched it, and I was like, yeah, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I rewatched it recently, and it's awful. Just terrible. The production is terrible. There's so many jokes that wouldn't fly today.
The Shane Dawson's video or Degrassi?
Both.
I love Degrassi.
Shout out to Drake.
So that was the first thing I watched of his, and that was actually fairly far in his YouTube career, relatively. He actually had a guest star on the show from Degrassi, so he'd gained enough clout that he was able to bring people on from, like, actual media, which in 2010 or whatever is huge for YouTube, because YouTube, when it first started, there was definitely this feeling of, oh, I'm just doing this until I get big enough to have a show. I'm just doing this until someone hires me to be in a real movie or be in a real... And a lot of YouTube creators judge themselves on their ability to be accepted by mainstream media, and that was the legacy that they wanted to have. And it's like, oh yeah, I do YouTube, but just until I have been noticed or get enough followers to be more legitimate.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many people. There were, like, some big names. Like, I mean, Justin Bieber came out of YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I think that there's a lot of different people who tried to start on YouTube and then made it famous in other ways. But I think Shane definitely had that expectation of himself. He'll say that his really only goal was to be a director, and he wanted to direct real movies, and he thought that that was going to be his path, is to make movies. Yeah. Yeah. He did direct a movie. It's not very good. It's called Not Cool.
Is that the one with his cat?
No. But...
Will you be talking about this?
No, probably not.
Could you please?
Shane Dawson is...
Are you wearing pants?
An interesting figure, because he's also one of the people who has had maybe at this point 10 to 12 hashtag Shane Dawson is over parties. Shane Dawson is canceled. Shane Dawson is to this, to that. He's racist. He's sexist. He's homophobic. Whatever it is, and I think that he definitely was. And I think, like I said, I rewatched that Degrassi parody, and I was like, oh my, like I couldn't sit and watch it anymore because it's just so like insane and offensive and whatever. And that's also just not what the humor is anymore. And I think he would say the same thing. And I've listened to his podcast, and I've listened to, and I've followed him on Twitter.
Why do you keep plugging everybody else's podcast with this one?
I know, I'm sorry.
Plug this podcast.
Listen to Dumb Nerd Thing to hear conversations about other podcasts.
A podcast about podcasts. That's our show.
That's the show!
I'm cutting all your audio out. Just me.
It's like Garfield minus Garfield.
Yeah. But he... was, and he's done a lot of growth as a celebrity and saying, like, yeah, you know what, I don't stand by the person who I was. I don't think that those were good choices that I made. And those go from anything of just making an off-color joke to he did blackface at certain points of his career. And like,
blackface was over in 1940.
Yeah.
It was the time. It was 2011. Everybody was doing it.
We were fine with blackface in 2011. But I think that
that's horrible.
Yeah, no, I think that he, like, even in that Degrassi video, I'm pretty sure he plays a black character. And it's, like, it's not good. And I think he would tell you the same thing. And he's come out and had so many apology videos. And every YouTuber does, you know. Not every YouTuber. Many YouTubers have apology videos. Yeah.
They all start with a...
Hey, guys. So, I really didn't want to make this video, but I think I have to address a couple of things.
Because I work for the fans.
But recently, getting back to what Colin brought up, recently one of his Shane Dawson is over parties is a joke that he made on his podcast about either jerking off his cat or jerking off onto his cat. Yeah, jerking off and nutting onto his cat. So he had a tweet and it just cut off at, I did not come on my cat.
Yeah, it was like, I did not jerk off on my cat.
I did not come on my cat.
Didn't come near my cat. And it was like unprompted because a lot of people didn't know.
It hadn't broken it that big of a story, but I think
it came into my circle.
No, but I mean,
once he tweeted, people saw his tweet
really caused more of it. But he had gotten in trouble for making jokes, and people are saying he's a pedophile. People are saying he's this, you know. And so I think he was trying to get out in front of this one, but it was like it just brought a lot more attention to it.
It's very funny.
And it's without being accused of coming on a cat, saying I didn't come on a cat is a very suspicious thing to be saying. But yeah, so he's an interesting figure in YouTube culture in that he's still around, first of all, because very few YouTubers are still around from that time. I could probably name 3 or 4, and all of them have probably gotten less big from
except
them.
For PewDiePie.
PewDiePie is after Shane Dawson considerably, though. Shane started in, like, 2008, and he was one of the first people to get 1 million subscribers. He was the most subscribed YouTube channel for a while, right behind Fred. So, like, that gives you kind of a timeline of how long he's been around, is that he and Fred were fighting for the number one spot for a while.
Who won in a fight, Fred or Shane Dawson?
Now?
Both at their peak strength.
Fred.
Who'd win in a fight, Fred or Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin.
Who'd win in a fight, Macaulay Culkin or Shane Dawson?
Shane Dawson.
Whoa.
A good
Metagame, if you will. YouTube is in kind of a weird spot now there's a lot of companies taking a lot of big interest in it.
Yeah.
There's
a lot more corporate influence in general.
Corporate vlogs and
yeah.
like
yeah, and
all that stuff. So, like, Like, how does... Why is he still around? And,
yeah.
Like, is it something where he's like, taking advantage of it? Or is he taking another...
He is kind of an anomaly in YouTube space. Because, like I said, there's very few YouTubers, I should say, who have maintained this level of fame and fandom around them. And then also with the whole Jake Paul series, yeah... But it was the number one thing that was talked about. You know, people who didn't watch YouTube knew about it. People who didn't care about either Shane Dawson or Jake Paul knew what was going on. And it was kind of a moment. And it was really Shane Dawson bringing back himself into the zeitgeist of YouTube. And if you know YouTube now... And the thing with that, too, is there were so many YouTubers tweeting about it and being like, Shane's the king,
We gotta take a step back. This is an 8-part...
docu-series.
I don't like calling it that.
It's not.
8-part video series.
They were
series
each like an hour, too.
That's super long that Shane made about Jake Paul.
Inside the mind of Jake Paul.
Another YouTuber
that
is infamous.
There was one before, though. There was a big Shane Dawson video before that.
I don't know.
Yeah. That really kind of brought
and
it back.
And I'm not one to throw a lot of negativity out on this podcast.
Yeah, we
I'll
hate negativity.
But,
I'll do it.
But watching that, the sheer disregard for any amount
journalistic
of...
Practice
of
any
journalistic practice, cinematography, film practice, documentary practice.
Yeah, all fair,
even,
all fair.
Even just like the ethics of a documentary are just all kind of thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And it's... It just befuddles the mind.
Yeah. Befuddles is absolutely right. Oh, the TanaCon is the...
Oh, yeah.
Him making a documentary about TanaCon is really what kind of
TanaCon
shot him back.
Was a controversial convention for another YouTuber.
Run by a 19-year-old YouTuber who wanted to stick it to VidCon by having her own convention and was no way prepared to host the amount of people that she had RSVP for it and made some shady decisions behind the scenes to let there be a crowding problem. And Shane, who is friends with Tana, was able to get a really inside view on the fallout from all of that. And that was really what kind of brought him back to the top of YouTube. And also gave him, I think, a misunderstanding of who he is and what his role is. Mm. And I think that really made him think that his job is to be this investigative reporter. And his job is to get to the bottom of the psychology of YouTubers and why they act like they do and how they act. And I think that... the Jake Paul documentary was really the peak of that, and it was him kind of flexing
peak?
This.
I guess the peak of him thinking that.
Yeah.
Some would say the deepest valley.
Yeah, I think it was the breaking point of him acting like a psychologist.
Nadir is the word you wanted. Continue.
Acting like he's a psychologist and acting like he is qualified to do that, and I think he got a lot of pushback on it, and that was what was interesting about the Jake Paul series too, is that it was happening in real time, because like you said, it was 8 parts, so videos would start and get increasingly more paranoid and angry of, people are saying this about the podcast, so we're doing this, people are saying this about the video, so we're doing this, and people are saying this, so here I am, and kind of in like a flippant way of like, people were saying my music was too scary, so I'm gonna put light music here, and it was just kind of a bad color on him, which is why I'm saying I don't love his content now, because I think he still creates like he is a child, and I think that the fact that he's, like, 30 now, I think? Maybe not. Getting up there, though.
Whatever.
He should have a little bit more maturity in how he treats his audience and, yeah, just standards of, like, journalism and documentaries and all that. And it's, like, there just isn't really a regard for that. It's really just, look at me hanging out with my friends and talking, but I'm going to act like I am a psychologist. I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about. And he got a lot of... brush back on that, and he got a lot of response of people saying, you can't talk like this, you can't say that, and like I was telling you earlier, Tim, I watched his most recent video, which is about the routine of Eugenia Cooney, who is a YouTuber as well, who took a step away from her YouTube channel to get recovery for an eating disorder, and he kind of talked to her about that, and I think that he did a better job responsibility-wise. I can't speak to the actual like filmmaking of it. It's pretty much the same, you know? Mm-hmm. But he did a better job that time of being more upfront with her.
This came before all of the TanaCon and everything?
No, this was most recent video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is now. So I think that he's learning, and I think he's trying to get better, but it's hard for anyone to grow and get better when 99% of the fans are saying, we love this, do more, this is great, this is the kind of content we want to see. Because it does appeal to this base instinct of like, wait, maybe Jake Paul is a psychopath. Mm-hmm. And being scared of that and acting as it's a horror movie that this 19-year-old is a crazy person, you know, because Jake Paul is like crazy to watch, and he's a figure, you know, he's a big public figure who does crazy stuff.
Here's the thing I think is interesting about how YouTubers grow and change, is that, like, so we're talking in the Macaulay Culkin episode, check out the previous episode of Dumb Nerd Thing for that conversation, is that there's this, like, desire for genuine, there's this desire for, like, a connection with the person, and
authenticity.
Yeah. And with YouTube, initially, that's exactly what you get.
Those lines are so blurred.
Well, like with the first thing that somebody will put out or would like want to put out, like that's exactly what they want to put out, and that's exactly what they want to do. And then they get direct feedback from the people, and then the people from people watching, and so then you get that like one-to-one interaction, and you can understand what people want, and so that seems like it's going to create something incredibly authentic and like exactly what everybody wants, but it's just going to create something that oftentimes people take the wrong path.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time
create something
once
completely fake.
Yeah, and it's interesting to watch any YouTuber from their first video to where they're at, especially if they're a successful YouTuber, because getting that kind of feedback and getting views and money based off of just your personality, just being you, is really gonna mess up a lot of people. And it's gonna make them think that they're the best person in the world and the most interesting person in the room and the funniest person alive. And a lot of YouTubers, and Shane talks about this a lot too, is a lot of YouTubers join YouTube because they are socially awkward and because they didn't have a lot of friends in high school and because they don't know really how to talk to people, but they know how to talk to a camera. And then suddenly they're inundated with fans. And fans aren't friends, but a lot of YouTubers think they are, and that's where lines get blurred. And that's where you create these power dynamics, which, you know, how many YouTubers have been canceled for abusing those power dynamics between mostly, from what I see, 25 to 35-year-old guys and 16-year-old girls.
Shout out to Power Dynamics.
Pour it out for Power Dynamics. I think that Shane has been one of the ones who has stayed fairly authentic, and that's why it's kind of sad to see him now start to move into a place where he thinks he's better than the fans. Not the fans, but he thinks he's better than, I mean, I don't know, I can't speak to his psychology, I guess I don't really, like, know him as a person, but that's the whole thing of YouTube, is you think you do, you think that they're your friends, and
do you think Shane Dawson is a sociopath?
Shane, we've clipped together 5 videos, and I
Shane
think
Dawson,
we can
come
prove
on
it.
Our podcast, I'll kick your ass.
Shane Dawson, if you're listening, please, give me Rich Evans' number.
I think Shane is a YouTuber who's really been able to adapt to what's new and different on YouTube. I think that's one of the reasons he's been able to stick around. I think he's tried a lot of different things, and I think above it all, he truly is one of the best at being authentic and being himself. And there was a lot of that to like grow along with him, because when he started, he was trying to be something he wasn't, you know. He was really skinny, he had like this straightened hair that he would wear, and he was trying to be like, hey, what's up, you guys, very much that YouTuber, and because that's what was YouTube in that time, you know. And from that, if you really watch a lot of his videos and like are a fan for a long time, you've seen him come into his own a lot more. He's come out, he's gotten a boyfriend that he seems really happy with. He's worn his hair naturally now for many years. He like has gained back some weight because I was telling Tim this, and I thought it was common knowledge, but again, I care. Wait, Tim. Teddy.
We'll just double over the Tims with Teddy.
I need a clean one.
Yeah. I was telling Teddy this, and
I need a clean Teddy.
Teddy.
Clean. Now, can you sit?
You're both talking. How is this my fault?
A clean one. Ready?
Teddy.
Go.
Okay, shh.
Teddy.
Teddy. This, and he actually used to weigh like 500, 600 pounds, and then lost a ton of weight, and has had a lot of issues with his body image, and with body dysmorphia and eating disorders that he's talked about in his books and stuff. And so it's as a viewer, you do feel like you're his friend because he's so open about every part of his life and how much that's changed. So you can, and when he references like, oh yeah, I was really upset at this time or I was really not myself at this time, you can go back and watch and you can see that he's not, you know? And because he's been around for 10, 12 years now, you really can see a person grow. And it's just, I wish that his content grew more with him. I wish he was making more mature stuff now. Mm-hmm. And I think he is. I think that he's doing a good job of making videos that have a little bit more substance. There was an era when all he did was, like, yellow background thumbnails, like, trying crazy galaxy drinks, mm-hmm. trying, like, and he would do, like, 5 a week, and they would get a steady amount of views, and he was fine, and that was just what his channel was, and that was one of the times that I wasn't really watching it, and a lot of people weren't. And then this TanaCon thing happened, and he gained back a lot of new followers, and now since that's what's working, that's what he's gonna keep doing.
I mean, like, isn't it... Like, what I was genuine in the beginning when I said that he's kind of like the opposite side of Macaulay Culkin, where he's been in this arena for so long, mm-hmm. and he got to the top, he got incredibly popular, but it doesn't seem to have the same, like, lessons that Macaulay Culkin learned of, like, I can just be genuine now, I can just do what I want to do and be genuine and...
Yeah, and I think that he is... getting nearer to that. And I think, like I was saying, I think he had a chip on his shoulder for a huge part of his early career of, I want to be recognized legitimately by movies and television. I want to be an actual director. I want to make horror movies. That was kind of his thing. And he ended up directing a movie, and he kind of had that, and then he realized that's not what he wanted. And so then his career was lost for a little bit where he didn't really know what he wanted to do, and he was making content that I don't think he would to this day say that he liked. You know, it was just he had to do it. And then I think now he's finally coming into his own of making content that he likes. It's just not content that I like, you know, which is fine. You know, I'm not, I think he makes content for high schoolers, but I just in general have been coming to terms with the fact that most YouTubers are making content for teenagers and it's not going to be for me anymore, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. I wanted to do a shout out to one of my favorite YouTubers. Well, they're no longer around, but the Super Best Friends, were very much did their own thing. They were a Let's Play channel, and they would play video games, and the, you know, it's still around on their own individual channels, but on the, and they would have a weekly, every Friday they would play a different fighting game, and on the week that the new Super Smash Brothers game came out, they played Line Dash Kill Spirits, an anime girl fighting game. Because they just wanted to, and they just didn't...
Yeah, and I think that that's... Those are the YouTubers that are fun to watch, are the ones who aren't chasing whatever this it's going to be big this week. Mm-hmm. And Shane really is doing that, and it's cool because he is taking time away, and he's not saying, okay, I'm going to make 5 videos a week because I know with the algorithm that's going to put me in people's feeds more and whatever. He's saying, I'm going to take time, I'm going to do what I'm passionate about, which is... And what he's trying to do is, he's trying to edit like a horror movie, he's trying to make it more like a movie, he's trying to make these 2-hour-long videos that have a narrative arc, and... lots of people really, really, really like them, and that's great, and that's, and I'm glad for him, and it seems like he is coming into his own, and he's really proud of the content that he's making now, which is awesome, and I think it's better than it was, you know, and so that's fun to watch, because he seems so much happier now, and more himself, and I think with a lot of creators who have, like, a lot of creators who are LGBT, or have stories and coming out videos, they kind of have, you get to watch them come into their own more, because they were projecting something that they weren't for the beginning of their career, and then they get to now be who they are, and it seems like he's much more comfortable in his skin now, and that's fun to watch. And yeah, self-deprecation is like 90% of his shtick, so like that's still a lot of the videos, but you can see that it comes from like a healthier place now. Not to psychoanalyze him. Yeah, I think, and I don't want to come off too much like I don't like Shane Dawson, because I do. And he was really important to me for a long time. Like I said, there was a point in my life where I'd seen every single video he'd ever made. I've read both of his books. I listened to his podcast. I know a lot about him, and I care a lot about him. And that's why it breaks my heart that he's not making better content, because I want him to be. I want him to be growing up and maturing. But it is strange to watch someone who's in their 30s still acting like a teenager when you're kind of moving out of that phase of your life, where it's like, I wouldn't go up to someone I don't know and be like, wait, could they be a psychopath? You know, like, it's like, that's a very immature way of thinking about people. And it's strange to see that, because I'm sure that if I watched it when I was 14, I would have bought it hook, line, and sinker, been like, yeah, maybe he is, you know? And it's like, that's a, that's a dangerous precedent to set. And I think that YouTubers a lot of time don't understand their responsibility, and Shane's one of those where he doesn't understand that after this TanaCon video, he had a ton of new subscribers and a ton of new clout and a ton of new people watching him, and the world was kind of seeing what he was going to do next, and he used that platform to make a lot of unsubstantiated claims about mental health, which I think was a bad move on his part, and, but that's the thing, everyone's learning and growing and trying to be a better person, so that's why I still like him, and I still think he's a good person. I just think that he is better suited to different content.
Yeah, I mean, YouTube's happening really fast. I mean, it's something where you have millions and millions of people watching his video.
Yeah.
And, like, and it's also very ethereal, and it's, like, it can be done very easily. Like, you could make, he could make a video in 20 minutes on, like, with just his webcam, and it'll be seen by millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
It's just, like, unprecedented, and a lot of the rules haven't been learned or figured out yet for that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you were saying earlier. It's, like, it didn't have any, I was saying it didn't have any journalistic integrity, and you're saying it, because I majored in journalism, Tim, you were a film guy. So those are things that hit us personally because we went to college for it. So we know what the rules are. We know what you're supposed to do. But that's the thing. Yeah, YouTube's the Wild West. There is no rules. You know, you can do whatever you want. And people are always going to, until we find the limits, people are going to break them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that he was just kind of an example of, okay, but what does a YouTube documentary look like? And he made it. And I think that people from both the journalism and film world were like, this isn't very good. And I think he's trying to get better. I think he's trying to learn from that. But he was the first to do it on such a huge scale. I'm not saying he's the only person to ever do a documentary on YouTube. Certainly he's not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But he did it on a very specific scale about YouTube specifically.
And about something that was incredibly hot at the time.
Very, yeah, right in the middle of the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some YouTubers that you do enjoy
that's
right now?
That's a tough question, because for a while I was getting into that whole commentary world of, like, the very Vine, ex-Vine, Curtis Connor, Danny Gonzalez, Drew Gooden, Cody Ko, but I kind of had that same issue where I'm like, this is clearly content for teenagers, and it's kind of creepy to me, just because I've seen it so many times before, to watch a 30-year-old or 25-year-old even make content for teenagers, and to read the comments and see it's young girls being like, he's amazing, I love him, he's so great, you know, and especially because a lot of those guys came up on commentating on MagCon and that kind of thing, and how crazy is it that these boys have fandoms just for being cute, and then they've kind of become what they used to talk about, and so I kind of walked away from all of them. I think Drew Gooden still makes some really, really good videos, so same with Curtis, and they're all fine, you know, but I just think that I've just seen it happen a lot with these, you know, these mildly attractive guys who probably weren't super attractive in high school, but then get on YouTube, and then they're older, so they're cool and funny and interesting because they're adults, and kids watch them and love them and have this, like, emphatic fandom about them, and then that gets into a messy territory, but, yeah, I'm trying to think of who I watch now. Yeah, I've been watching commentary. Jay Aubrey makes some good commentary. I've been watching him recently. But I think that YouTube is changing. Like you said, it's very different now.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be my main source of entertainment. It used to be all I would watch. I would go home and I'd watch YouTubers. And I had tons of YouTubers that I would watch. And they were all my friends, you know? And that's kind of the vibe that they were. Is, look at us, we're just like you. We're teens just like you. And now I'm looking back, I'm like, no, they weren't. They were 25, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that now I need to move into more adults and stuff. But I'll Defunctland is really good. I like now more like video essays and things that are like more well researched.
Love Defunct TV.
It's so good.
Yeah. I watched the Jim Henson series.
Yeah. Those are videos I still get excited
really
about
good.
Seeing.
Shout out to
Episode 1 of Dumb Nerd Thing. If you want to hear about Jim Henson and David Bowie, then check out Dumb Nerd Thing, place where podcasts can be listened to.
I also watch a lot of Drag Race content now, but I've just moved away from thinking from, I think, like you said, YouTube is changing. I think there's fewer people now who are cults of personality, or at least I watch fewer of them, because now it's more daily vlogs and things that are set up specifically to play with the algorithm, and also, it's so weird now that vlogging is all about flexing and being rich and giving off this air of being better than people, because it used to be, I'm just like you, and they'd sit in a teen bedroom set even though they were 35 and lived in a beautiful house, you know? And it's now look at my insane mansion. I'm 16. And you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. what? And so YouTube's definitely changing. And I think that Shane is one of the few vestiges of what YouTube used to be. And Jenna mm-hmm. Marbles, she's still great. She's actually great. I like her content a lot still, which is crazy because she's been around since as long as he has. And they're two of the OGs that really still make a lot of good stuff that people like to watch. But yeah.
Nice. So if you'd like to write into Dumb Nerd Thing, you can write into dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. That's dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. Got a letter coming in from Buzzsprout. support@buzzsprout.com. Thank you for using Buzzsprout to host your podcast. Your credit card ending in has been charged $12 for your Buzzsprout subscription. This charge covers the issues from July 8th through August 7th, 2019, and any overage from the previous month.
I love fan mail.
Thanks, Buzzsprout.
What do you think about that?
I think that's, like, really fun that someone's writing in. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, it's so nice to meet you. I love a fan. Buzzsprout, you said? Okay, hi, Buzzsprout. I'm going to kick out of that.
Let's hear from another one.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's see. We got one from the ToyArk Forums. Action required to activate membership for ToyArk Toy Forums. Thank you for registering at ToyArk Toy Forums. Before we can activate your account, one last step must be taken to complete your registration.
Wow. Toy Forums. I actually
responded those allegations.
Yeah, I actually had the same question. Toy Forums. It's so funny that you should ask.
okay. So let's do.
So mailbag.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Ooh.
Shane Dawson. Mm-hmm. Macaulay Culkin. Fred.
Fred. No, don't do Fred.
He's a child.
Jake Paul.
Ugh, okay. I would.
Wait, which one do you like more, Jake Paul or the other one?
Logan. They're both terrible. They're both awful. But I would say marry Macaulay Culkin, just because I want to hear about every aspect of his life.
Yeah, we thought we got that one.
Yeah. I don't want to have sex with Shane Dawson, though. I have no interest in doing that. Certain times in his career and certain areas of my life, I was like, yeah, he's so cute, but not now at all. So I guess, fuck Jake Paul.
Jake Paul.
Yo, this just Jake in. Betsy does not believe people can change and grow.
all right. Any final words on whatever we were talking
about?
Shane
Dawson?
On previous segment.
Any final words on previous segment here?
if you like Shane Dawson, you should check out his good friend Drew Monson makes him a lot of really good videos as well. Garrett Watts is another really good creator. Morgan and Ryland people like as well. That's his boyfriend and his sister. But if you're looking for like Shane Dawson content, you can watch Not Cool on Netflix. It's bad. Oh, I think he would tell you
I've
that
it's
bad.
I've not watched it. I've seen a lot of people talk about it.
Well, the thing Not Cool, do you know the whole origin of it?
He won a
TV show. Yeah. So the TV show, they gave them a plot to a movie, and then they were like, okay, now make your own script and direct your own movie. So it has to follow a plot that he had nothing to do with, which is such a strange way to get into movies.
Weird.
Yeah, and then he made it and he won the contest and whatever, but it's not very good. I think he would tell you that. I think if he watched it now, he would tell you that.
He texted me earlier.
Yeah. If you're watching, if you want some like really, really fun Shane Dawson content, him and Trisha Paytas are always really funny together. Trisha Paytas is also great on her own. My favorite Shane Dawson video of all time is one with Drew Monson where they're trying, this sounds bad, but it's a good video, trying fast food. It's look it up. It's funny.
Sounds
it's
awesome.
Yeah, the one on Drew's channel is better.
yeah. Check out Willie Versus on YouTube. Check out Matt McMuscles, Angriest Pat, Rising Superstream, Liam. All great YouTubers.
Great YouTubers. We love YouTube here on Dumb Nerd Thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the Poison Vivo channel on YouTube. Where you can get all the Poison music videos.
All the Poison you want. Shout out to Poison for sponsoring the podcast.
Yeah, it's not the band, but the substance.
Yeah, true.
If you see a skull and crossbones,
it's gotta be Poison.
It might taste good. Here's something for you. If Poison is bad for you, how does it taste so good?
How do you know how it tastes?
I love Poison.
Like the band with the substance.